Hello and welcome to the Echo Chamber podcast. My name is Tony Groves and today we're talking squash. As always, I'm joined by my co-host and the man who could do with being squished, if I'm perfectly honest.
Thanks, Tony. If I'm squished down anymore, I'll be allowed to cry.
You should. I'm going to post a picture of this pod because he's sitting there now like Yoda. In the warmest room in the house with a big bloody fur jacket on you. Martin, what are you at?
When it comes to the winter, Tony, you know me, resistance is low, so I need big coats, warm all the time. Listen, just want to remind everybody we're going live podcast again in the Wiley Fox on the 26th of this month, and it's a sterling lineup. We're talking about housing, we're talking about renting, we're talking about the problems, we're talking the real deal, the figures, no spin. Get your tickets quick, get in there, and they are selling. Tony's after showing me this morning. They're going fast, so get in there. If you're a patron, you know you can use your voucher codes. So definitely get in there fast. 26th, Wiley Fox, get on it.
Much more importantly, we're delighted to be joined in the Tortoise Shack by no other but friends of Martin, who actually he maintains are still friends to this day. Orla Doherty and Debbie Brown, but DB, we're going to call you, I think. Is it for the purpose of this?
You're very welcome.
Just call her Deborah.
Whatever.
Oh, boy. Let's not go there. No.
So I just want to say that I know Orla since we
1978, I'd say.
Quite a long time ago. Orla used to pal around with my brother Kevin. Shout out to Kevin because we're going
Kevin.
To send this to him in the
How
States.
How are you?
And I remember Orla as, and if you don't mind me saying, a little girl with a squash racket.
I was a little girl with
and
a squash
racket. And maybe a frown.
Oh, big frown. Jeez.
And just yesterday, you won, was it yesterday?
A couple of days ago, we went to Malta for the Malta Masters Championships, and I won it. So just flew in last night, gold medal, tried to get some free drinks off Ryanair. They weren't having any of it.
So gold medal.
Gold medal Malta, yeah. It's been a very good year.
It's been an excellent year. For both of you, it's been a really, really good year.
That's right.
In many sports. So you said we're going to talk about squash, but actually, if you don't mind, we'll talk about pickleball and paddle as well. Right,
Dan? Oh, yeah, please, right. too. Yeah. So tell Multitude. Us, what is pickleball?
You go.
Yeah, pickleball would be the fastest growing sport in America. It's absolutely gangbusters. And paddle, by comparison, is the fastest growing sport in Europe. So paddle is an enclosed court with a net and looks like a tennis ball and is absolutely massive in the Latin countries and North America and all over Europe. But it's expensive to put up courts and you know, that sort of is a stop right there.
It's a cross between squash and tennis, basically.
Yeah, you can take
the ball
off
the wall and there's a net.
And then pickleball, by contrast, was built. So both of these sports came around at the same time in the early 60s. But pickleball was born in Washington State in America on a badminton court where these families come together on Bainbridge Island for a summer vacation, and they didn't have all the proper equipment to play badminton. So they sort of made a makeshift game down low, a la more like tennis, instead of badminton up high. And so that game has progressed over so many years, and I'd say in the last 10, 15 years, it's gone gangbusters. So the modern day of pickleball has evolved into sort of a tennis-looking game, as opposed to, so what happens is when you look at a badminton court, there's a 7-foot line by the net, and you can't, in our game of pickleball, you can't just go in there and take the ball out of the air and smash and, you know, fall over the net. You have to stay back beyond these lines. So it does look and act a little bit like those games with subtle differences, but from the baseline, it looks a lot like tennis. But again, back in the old days, you used to dink the ball over the net to the other side and keep the ball down low so it's not unattackable. Mm. The moment you hit a ball up when you're standing that close to the net, it becomes attackable, right? But anyway, the whole thing about both of these sports actually is that they lend themselves to every age
and
every skill level, because both of those sports, the bats, the rackets, don't have strings. Whereas in, for example, tennis, which I also coach, and squash, when you deal with strings on a ball, you have various things you can do, including spins. And spins are not so much of a thing in these games. So you can put a bat in both of these sports in hands of kids and adults in these sports, and they pick it up very quickly. There's not many things you can do sports-wise where within 20 minutes, you can have people playing it nearly properly. So that's what makes both of these sports the fastest growing sports in their areas.
And do they lend themselves to like spectator sports? In that there must be a lot of rallies if you have to stand back from the net. It must be quite a lot of rallies.
Yeah, I mean, pickleball in specifically would be there's a lot of everybody gets to the net, so you get four people at the net, and this dinking thing where it just goes over the net. It's very skillful. It looks easy, but it can go on and on and on and on. You have to be careful because, you know, the moment you make the mistake, you're going to get the ball, you know, tattooed on your forehead or whatever. It's a very, very interesting sport for many reasons. And the thing about it is that Orla and I are, these sports lend themselves to, again, to young to old, which also brings about the discussion of keeping people healthy and active. And, running is not for everyone. Swimming is not for everybody. And these are basically giant ping pong games. Everyone can get out onto a table and enjoy themselves at ping pong. And they're just that easy that you can get out and do them. And again, get your heart rate up. And
I think what we found is a lot of former tennis players who would have played quite actively up until their 40s or 50s and then starting to get the knee problems, the shoulder problem, whatever, have kind of made the switch to pickleball, and it's been suited. Debbie does classes out in Portmarnock in the community school where we went to school. She's got the key to our school, but
there's an
it's kind of frightening.
They've been so great at the adult ed over in the shout out to Portmarnock Community School, because they didn't, I never even met the guy, and he gave me the keys to the hall. And so it's an adult ed class, which attracts people it's first on the list. Mm. It's Monday at whatever o'clock that puts it the first thing you see. And sort of people sort of look at it and go, oh, okay, well,
something
I might give
different.
That a try. It's not buried in the middle of the pamphlet. So lots of people come over, and you can also just drop in. You don't have to be enrolled in the adult ed class. But we've also grown so much that you can sometimes go over there and you have to wait to get in a game. So if you have four courts on a basketball court,
yeah,
you know, again, all badminton lines, there's always a game starting or
it's
ending where you sit down for a second and then you're up into the next game. And so that's grown now to Thursdays where you can come over and play, same thing. And that night is also growing. We also met with ALSA over by the airport two or three weeks ago, and they are blown away by it. They've got a big, huge hall over there, nine badminton courts that are, you know, not used a lot of the daytime, so we can get in during the day. And they've been very good about letting us showcase over there. And there's a there's a tennis club right there. And, you know, when it's pouring rain outside,
yeah,
it's a really nice alternative. Again, you wouldn't say to a tennis player, oh, you want to go play badminton? But you could say to them, let's go play pickleball. And again, it looks and acts just like tennis, just
it's
on
like
a smaller,
giant ping pong.
Smaller scale.
I keep getting the vision of, because, you know, when you're away and you see all these amazing Spanish and French people who play paddle on the beach, and they're, you know, they're just terrific at it. Mm. And you go, I wonder if what they do when it's raining, because you know, we get no practice. So like we always go away. We always buy the little paddle and we buy the little ball. And
yeah,
then we look at the Spanish family, and they seem to be able to play in a circle of nearly 15 people, and they can just deal with and we're like, no, stop hitting it at me. Stop
yeah.
it. And then I could imagine though that it just lends itself to that dexterity that, you know, as I said, 15 people in the one family you could see on a beach that could transport into, you know, as you said, a game of doubles. Intergenerational.
Well, that's the beauty of it too, Tony, is that I think Debbie has kids age 8, and then she's people over 70 playing it.
Mm.
So it's all ages, which is just, I mean, you won't see that in tennis.
No.
Definitely won't see that in squash. But it's fantastic that you have so many.
Well, another thing is, you know, Americans, it's again, fastest growing sport in America. When they go on vacation, they are pickleball mad. No matter where they go, they will always look it up.
Mm.
And contact and get a game internationally. And so that happens a lot. And we have guys driving to our Monday and Thursday night classes from cabin.
Mm.
And another guy gets in that guy's car from another hour away. So one guy comes 2 hours away.
To come
2 hours over, 2 hours back. So listen, that's the beginning of what happened in America, is you get the itch and then you'll do anything
for
it.
Hooked on it.
And those guys happen to be, they're new and they're fantastic and to be really great former badminton players. And they say, oh, it's nothing. We're used to traveling for badminton. So this is like, this is nothing. Mm. But I'll be playing with one of those guys in the Dutch Open next year in 2020 in April. Mm. He's that good. His learning curve's straight up. So it does, again, lend itself to the former badminton players that played not just top notch, but these guys happened to play very good badminton, but they picked it up super quickly.
So you do squash, pickleball,
paddle.
And I'm a former college tennis player. But again, I remember the first time I threw a tennis ball up in the air here in Port Marnock and had rain landing in my eyeballs. Listen, I'm from California, so that's a new one for me. I didn't dig it too much.
But you also coach Orla. Am I right on this?
Well, I wouldn't. There's no sort of contract.
100% wrong.
Contractual.
I have to get that in there. I'm sorry. What she is very good at is managing me.
Okay.
That's a better
word.
But,
so I'm just strictly squash. And do you want to keep talking about
me? Well, I'm a three-time national champion squash player in America. So I can sit out the side of the court and see, you know, if I can see something, I'll communicate that to her. But it's, you know, for Orla, I think it's nice to have somebody along that's knowledgeable about squash and we can sit around and talk each other's ear off about it.
And we're very competitive. We never will play any of these sports against each other.
Okay.
And in fact, we can't even play as a team.
Yourselves.
Yeah, we tried playing on the British Paddle Tour and we did quite well as a team, but we fight because if one makes a mistake, we blame the other, and it's just so we just decided we're not going to do that again.
And you're married. You got married
5 years ago.
5 years ago,
yeah, in Santa Barbara.
So that if you have an argument on the court,
oh yeah,
it doesn't stop.
It lasts for days.
It's in the memory bank.
Yeah, yeah, and it's a pity really because we are very good together as a sports team. And people will always say, why don't you just play and compete? When it's just we can't.
So competitive.
We can. I think I'm going to say it. I think she's a little uncoachable. Only give me a minute. Because she's
not
still
live, right?
Very headstrong into squash as well. She should be in. Those strokes in squash do not lend themselves to they do a little bit in paddle and a little bit in pickleball, but much small. You have to keep the ball in to have fun, and so with less margin for error on the, there's a net in the way, and like you don't skim the ball over an inch over the net. Well, anyway, that's finer details of those sports. Yeah. But
I decided last year to just stick to squash, and so I'm on a campaign at the moment. I don't know if you know this, to compete and hopefully do very well in the World Championships next year in Poland.
Yes.
So I started all this training about a year ago now.
Amazing transformation, I might add.
Thanks. Wow. But not coachable.
I'm not the coach of that.
You won't be allowed to coach that one.
I've had a successful year. I've won 5 European championships. So I started in Spain, Slovenia, won the British Open, just recently won the European championships, and then 2 days ago, Malta. So
yeah, Malta.
It's been a great year, and I've
number
had loads of supporters. And this is in the over 45s, obviously. Yeah, but by sort of way of that, I also made the actual Irish team, the national women's team, which I'm the oldest woman in history of Ireland to be selected with these 19 and 20 year olds. So I'm competing this weekend in Connacht, the Connacht Open, and that's a selection event. So there's 281 days to World Masters in Poland.
I got to talk about the team of support you have, not just myself.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've got a performance coach. You might know Cliona O'Connor.
Yeah.
Cliona O'Connor played for Dublin for 12 years. She was the goalie. And we happened to meet. She was taking some squash lessons from me, and it turned out that she now sort of gets me and has helped me phenomenally in my mindset, shall we say.
Yeah.
So mental training that way, and just guiding me through self-belief, self-confidence. And it's really changed me. I'd say you'd agree with that.
100%.
And then I've got Owen Ryan, who coaches me. He's my coach from Sutton. He's a squash coach and he's fantastic. And he just knows my game and the intricacies of what I need to do. And then my mother and my brother and you and a lot of people have actually given me some money, to help that. Towards, because it's all self-funded.
These
trips
in 281 days, it's all self-funded.
Yeah it's, and the last year has been self-funded, but I still do have a GoFundMe thing set up, and I've a lot of my friends have raised money for me, which is great, and got me to the Europeans this year, so I'm really appreciative of that. And then Alan Doyle, my lovely physiotherapist, I'm going to see him today.
But you're number one in Europe
in my age group. Yeah, yeah.
In your category, that's
yeah. So it does bode well for the Worlds next year. If I continue to be successful, I should get a top four seeding, which is what I want. And then who knows?
But this is very much the same path as a younger professional athlete would have taken. Like, you don't get to do these things unless you have the physio, the mental coach, the strength
and my nutritionist,
and
Daniel David. You know Daniel? He's a nutritionist for Leinster Rugby, and he's also the Dublin Footballers nutritionist. He just wrote a book, and he's amazing. You might want to have him on there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah,
I'll give
definitely.
You his contact information.
I'll get the number off you before you go.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I mean, you're right. So you're flying ahead. You are two-time U.S. national.
Three times.
Sorry. Yeah. I mean, I'm not. Not to sound bad, like, but you know, I ran the marathon.
Yay! That's a huge accomplishment.
Round of applause.
I couldn't do that.
But I'm laughing at the things we try to put out. We go, okay, so you're sitting here, the level of dedication, even to do something aiming for next year, it's not just squash training you have to go
through. Oh, it's a multitude, yeah. And I'm also a personal trainer in the gym, and Cathy McGivney, you might know Cathy from Portmarnock, she really kick-started my career in the gym. So that, because I spin like a mad woman, I teach spinning classes, and I think that has helped so much in my fitness. And it's everything, it's, you know, lifting off court, and it's like I said, it's the mental side of it. Nutrition has been key, looking after my body. So it's like I'm literally doing it like a professional. And here I am, 48. Like, I think I'm fantastic, aren't I?
Well, I think, like, I look at me at a couple
yourself.
Of years older than you, and like, it's decrepit. Like, it's hard to get down the stairs. And you're doing this stuff at 48. Well, it's unbelievable.
It is unbelievable.
It's unbelievable. Your level of fitness must be phenomenal.
Yeah, I'm probably the fittest I've ever been. So I'm delighted, and it won't last forever. So I'm just going to keep going until I can't.
I gave up on that. Listen, I'm 50 some odd now, so.
57 on Saturday.
Squash has been a part of my life, but I just think that for myself, especially now that I have these other sports I can go into, gave up sort of on that. Although I did come out of retirement.
She won the Leinster Open last weekend in over 55.
So. That's right.
Just randomly out of retirement after 2 years.
What are you doing this weekend? Oh, I'm just going to win.
I said I need an extra person.
I couldn't walk for 4 days after that, though. That's why I don't play squash anymore.
So the competitive fire just reignites. And that's the end of that.
That's tough. The off court part is the heartbeat, and how much can you pull from other parts of your compartments, and the heart is one big one.
You called it your athletic memory tank.
I pulled from the athletic memory tank.
Well, that's
pulled
great.
It and won. It's not that you pulled it and played. You pulled it and won.
Yeah.
But after these events, I mean this honestly, because someone who wakes up in the morning has to roll his foot because of plantar fasciitis.
Painful.
Yeah. And you're there, and you go, and then people say to you, like, actually, you don't run. And I go, yeah, probably 5 days a week. And you go, and, you know,
it's a lot of pounding.
It is. And it's a lot. It takes a toll. But again, for me, from my point of view, he'll even know if I haven't been out running, because mental health isn't as good unless I've gotten, you know.
Yeah, the exercise. It's huge. And I'll talk about me in particular. I was diagnosed with bipolar disorder when I was 30. And fast forward 12 years, I was medicated, hated it, numbed me. But ever since, I've sort of thrown myself back into this whole element of fitness and just exposing your body to what happens when you do a spin class or you play a squash match. And it's huge. And you'll notice too, if I've missed a few gym sessions, I go down. I don't take medication anymore. Mm. Great support group around me. But the exercise and the endorphins, it's huge. I know you probably are just sitting there and you're
wishing. I forget what an endorphin is.
You had yours taken.
I'm not talking about those kind. That was 1985.
And it's important. I know this is, but it's important we mention this, because especially for young women, we see participation rates fall off from the age of like 30 and 40. And they soar. Yeah. Once they hit secondary school, and then into later life, when you know, life, as they say, gets in the way. But the lads will say, "Well, I go play five-a-side or whatever it is they're doing, or we're weekend warriors and wrapped in lycra and going out and harassing people on the hills of Hope."
Yeah.
But this is the sort of stuff that needs to be, you know, there has to be also the state has to play a role, education has to play a role. Like events like that on a Thursday where people can go, and as you said, intergenerational. Do you, as two women, do you feel that this is something that we need to give more attention to?
Absolutely. I mean, America, we all, maybe the world has always the same problem, but kids face down on their, you know, handheld devices these days and not exercising like we knew how to exercise, getting lost in the forest and climbing trees and riding your bikes and your all that sort of stuff. That's just the kids. But again, women that might have played not at a high level, but had their hand in the sport and played, you know, GA and all that. Did I say that right?
Gaw. Like the leisure centre.
On the south side, the
Gaw.
Sorry. We're near played all their avenue. Sports and then had, out of necessity, had to put those sports behind them to raise the kids and all that sort of stuff. And but then you can always reemerge, and some don't. Mm. You know, they might just get too far behind and think they can't recover again and or start over, but these are the sports, paddle and pickleball, I think, that lend themselves the ease of use, gets the job done. And squash, if you still have that fire, the compartment, squash is great the second time around or the first time around. Great to get your aggressions out.
As you said, yeah. Social.
Social.
You're interacting. You're getting those endorphin rushes. Like we're sitting close by to one of the biggest GA clubs in the country, and I see the participation rates are huge. Mm. But then I also see, and this is the truth, where, you know, the WhatsApp groups go around saying, you know, who needs a lift to what match on a Thursday or something. And there is that element of, well, if it's one of the women's, the young ladies, the dads, and I say this as a knock on myself, it'd be easier to say, oh, she's a bit tired. And for the boys, he has to get his arse out there.
Yeah.
And so there's a role in parenting as well that very much has to push this. Whereas what you're talking about is in pickleball and paddle, you know, I wouldn't be as afraid that they're going to get hurt, because it's that image of, you know, of young women not wanting to get an elbow, you know.
Yeah, I have that. I don't want an elbow.
Are you familiar with the 20 by 20 campaign? That's,
yes.
They did a can and can't debate, I think, the other week. I don't know if you saw it. I haven't had a chance to watch it yet. But it talked about just this, is the difference between even spectators going to watch a man's competition versus a women's, and the difference. And I saw a clip where there was one of the panel. He said something along the lines of, I'd be much more inclined to go and see a man because it's much more exciting versus a you know, and it's a whole mental attitude. It's the way people, it's a perception, is what he was saying.
But does that also lend itself to sponsorship or take from sponsorship, that there is a gender bias where sponsorship is concerned? As you've said, you're crowdfunding what you do, and you're the best in Europe at what you do. Why isn't the sponsorship there to match that?
I think part of mine is probably because I'm it's a Masters. I'm not, even though I'm on the Irish team. Like Irish squash will support anything to do with Irish team European championships and all that. That's all funded. They pay for the flights, accommodation. But because I'm competing at the veterans level, let's say, there is no money put aside for that. I don't know about Irish sport, but I know Irish squash doesn't have the funding for vets. All the money will go into junior squash and then what's called senior squash, which is between 18 and say 30. I don't know. Maybe people need to get on the bandwagon. But
I'm thinking, why aren't you wearing your
I should have brought my big
brand
medal.
And
I do have a great clothing. Gosh, I can't believe I forgot to mention Alan Byrne. I have a great clothing sponsor called Lucky and Love. You may have seen me wear my gold jacket.
Yes.
And they provide all my clothing that I wear for my tournaments. And it's gorgeous stuff,
it's
isn't
gorgeous.
It?
Yeah, it's gorgeous.
I get all my equipment from Alan from Salming Squash too. So, like, I am supported that way. It's just the financial side of it that, you know, flights and accommodation and all that.
But Martin raises another point. Is, like, obviously, and the 2020 campaign is very important because, well, as again, we've seen year on year where they celebrate the women's football final attendances are growing
higher and higher.
And, you know, but what's happened is, you know, they do say, if you can't see it, how can you achieve it? It's the same with educational attainment. It's the same with, you know, in areas that are socioeconomically disadvantaged. It's if you don't see, if you're not represented, how are you going to aspire to
it? It's almost like a catch-22. I mean, look at the women's hockey team.
Yes.
They basically did that themselves. And now everybody's just absolutely delighted, as they should be, but they had to do it themselves.
20 years to an overnight success.
I know. Yeah. It's incredible. It's amazing.
That being said, in this arena, you're obviously doing brilliant.
Yes.
So you know, I hate to say, outliers are what we talk about here. Saying, you know, here's someone who did it, and then, you know, Shane Ross shows up and gets a picture.
Yeah,
God, that's great.
Yeah.
Katie Taylor.
Oh,
literally, like, you know, you have these events and
you know you've made it when Shane stands beside
it. That's what I need.
But we mentioned
a picture with Shane.
But we mentioned the hockey, and he had the gall to stand in front of the... If you ever listen to the clip, it is brilliant because he announces like €1 million in funding for hockey that he'd already announced. And the women realise within 15 seconds what he's actually said. He's just re-announced something while they're there. And they go, wow! And then they went, oh, hang on a second. And you could actually hear it in the room.
Jesus.
And this is the, you know, you are pushing against, obviously, let's be honest about it, a patriarchal society that deems that, you know, women have a role to play. And it's not necessarily to be sporting icons.
Mm.
Maybe a few tennis players and occasionally a bit of golf, but it's not exactly that. But what we see now is with the participation rates, if you can tackle it from the ground up, that's where the success is. And people like you give people an idea to say, well, look, what's the woman who runs for Australia now, who we lost, who picked up running at the age of 34 and now is going to represent Australia in the Olympics?
Really? I didn't hear about that.
Oh, yeah. He let it in her name.
Yeah.
But what we've seen with these people who are, you know, we have the talent, we have the ability, we need the support, we need the encouragement, we need the coaching, or uncoachable as it may be. In the States, was it as, do you see the, like, the availability of, you know, courts, use, all that sort of stuff, facilities?
You know, I'd say bigger country, more options.
Mm.
There's limited, for example, there's lots of tennis clubs here, but is there lots of public tennis courts?
No.
That you can just walk on with your kids and knock the ball around? No. So most tennis kids will only be tennis kids by virtue of the fact that their parents belong to the club, which is great. But Parks Tennis here in Ireland does a great job with getting exposure for tennis.
Mm.
Exposure's a difficult one.
But talk about Malahide Castle, what you do over there, because that's public.
Right. 6 great hard court tennis courts out there. Pennies on the dollar.
Mm.
For coaching, pennies on the dollar for renting, meant to be that way, accessible to the community, beautiful location, and really well used now for parks and for my own coaching. So I probably have 30, 40 kids in now every week getting coached. Difficult, though, because it's not a club. It doesn't have lights.
Mm.
They close the park at dark, so... Mm. Limited, but it's a beautiful public facility. And if there were lots of those,
who can't afford to join a tennis club, they can just go over to get a lesson with Debbie.
I think there's four tennis clubs within 2 kilometres either side of where we're sitting here.
Really?
Yeah.
And they're expensive to join. Mm. That's the thing.
Well, here's another one is the Portmarnock Sports and Leisure. They have leisure.
I didn't say anything.
You gave me she rolled her eyes. You can't see that, but what a facility. Has the swimming pool, has the squash has the hall, has a tennis.
It's the only club in Ireland with all the racket sports of badminton, squash, tennis, pickleball, paddle, five racket sports.
All the five-a-side, or seven-a-side pitches, I think, and has, you know, lots of
and
things
the
for kids
clubs
to do.
Up the road.
Kids and moms and dads to do.
Yeah.
And that's a public facility, a non-profit. So it should be replicated all over the place, like that you could have access to every one of those things, and that your kid may not be a team sport kid like myself. I preferred to be the only one on my team. I love individual sports.
Clearly.
Clearly. but I think, you know, in looking at your growth of a kid, yeah, team sports and yeah, individual sports makes the whole thing. Like when you get older, you got to find those other, you know, 13 for the seven aside guys to get out or get gals to get out on a night, to play something where, you know, squash is two people, you know, pickleball could be two people or four people, it lends itself to be more of the life sport where you can get out there and compete.
Well, something, speaking of life sport, if I can just throw in there, recently I've started coaching the Irish Masters squads, we'll say. So anybody who's over 35 up until over 60 who wants to come back and start. So what we've started doing these at Fitzwilliam Lawn Tennis Club, who give us the courts for free, very kindly. And what I've found is women who I would have known when I was 12, 13, 14, who played squash, put their rackets down, found boys, found booze, went off, got married, had babies, smoked cigarettes. They're now in their 40s and they're coming back to play. And the joy that they're feeling, because their kids are now grown up, they're teenagers or older. And they're the biggest thing they come to me, which is what I love, is that they enjoy it and they're having a great time and they're playing squash again. Maybe not to the level they did, but they're in their 40s and 50s now and having the time of their lives, and they get the day on a Saturday to go to Fitzwilliam, husband stay at home with the kids or whatever. And they're meeting their old friends from years ago. And that in itself is a whole separate thing. Like maybe the cool thing to do now is take up a sport when you're 40 and excel.
Think about the health.
Yes. Yeah. And the mental part.
All of those benefits that go to people. And look, Martin's sitting there, the only one who doesn't so much as, you know, the only thing he does is gets exercise is jumping down people's throats on Twitter.
I'm lucky if I make it out of bed.
Yeah, no, he's a master apparently.
But it is like it's. I just know that we talk about what are the big problems in this country in terms of the killers, and it's heart disease and it's these sort of things. And if you're not, just because you're not going to be the European champion,
that's not what it's about.
You can't have lifelong benefits to this, and I think that's a really important thing, that that lesson that people can take. That yes, you're an inspiration as someone who's out there doing it, but we're not going to be there. But we'll all have our own personal victories. You know what I mean? And I think that is really, really important that when people are listening to this going that actually it's not too late to actually pick up the racket as you guys are frame it. And I think that's really important, because there's so much, as I said, there is, I know some of it can be exclusion by you have to pay a certain thing to join or whatever, but these events aren't.
You know? No, and that's, I think that would be the message we'd want to give, is it's not too late. And the biggest thing is you're going to enjoy it. You're going to have fun. You're going to get exercise. You're going to feel better about yourself. And yeah, go have the pint afterwards, because we do, or two or three or four, right? And, but you can justify that because you've just played squash or pickleball or paddle or tennis or whatever.
Is that what you do?
Hour and a half. Yeah, justify it all. That's the reason I teach so much spinning.
It's the Irish thing, isn't it? Jog while you're having the marathon.
Yeah. But it's never too late.
Can I ask, go a little bit more personal, where did you two meet? How did you meet?
Weirdly, we met in Minneapolis in St. Paul's, right? At a squash tournament. We had a mutual friend, her name is Amy Milanic, and I was living in Las Vegas at the time. Now, that's a whole other story that I won't even talk about.
Oh, my God, that sounds really cool.
And playing a little bit of squash, and she wanted to put a team together from the West Coast for this national tournament. It was a women's event called the Howe Cup. And Amy said, you have to meet Debbie. Debbie has to meet you, although I don't think the world is big enough for both of you. That's her words. Amy in Philadelphia. And we met and we shared a room with two other people, and we hit it off like a house on fire. We won't tell that story. Yeah. But we became instant friends. This was back in 1996. And subsequently, I ended up moving to the East Coast. I was coaching at Cornell University. Debbie was still in Santa Barbara. And we communicated through email, and we'd always meet up at competitions, and we were always in trouble. Like, we would always go, you know, after, because we were quite successful. Each year you won a national championship, I won the 5 years younger national championship. So we were kind of partners in crime on the court and off the court. We were always getting in trouble. Terrible too, they used to call us. But anyway, I ended up marrying somebody else.
Now we're the power couple.
Debbie was my bridesmaid at my very first wedding.
Oh, wow.
Which is a great story.
I made the speech.
She had a great speech. And that wedding obviously didn't work out. So long story short, we're together about 11 years, married five. Just squash. Keeps getting better and better. Squash.
Sports.
Yeah. Yes.
And that's your big common interest is
no, it seems to be getting into trouble if
Yeah. We're very entertaining, I'd say. We dance together.
Can I ask one question? You live Santa Barbara. Like, you
know.
Really?
Oh, well, you know, you always want what you don't have. I want curly long hair, and I have short, straight hair. Oh, sorry.
Terrible.
We're gonna crowdfund you, Martin.
I'm from California. I've been there a long, long time, and it is extremely beautiful there. Mm. But we decided to. My parents had both died, and I had run a nonprofit for 10 years, an after-school program for low-income kids that was squash-related.
Yeah.
And after my mother died, we sort of looked at our lives, and Orla would always have to fly home here to Ireland to see her mom. Her father passed previously, but instead of coming to Ireland once a year, we decided, why don't we see if we can get there, move for a year or two, and see what happens.
I'd been over there for 22 years, so.
It was perfect timing because Donald Trump had just gotten onto the ticket. He hadn't been elected, but we moved in February, and the elections were in November, and we were very disappointed about that. So anyway, for me, I'm from California. which is a desert. It's full of, you know, cactuses and things like that. Yeah, and everything green there is basically made green by the watering.
Yeah.
And it's there's, you know, when we moved here, we were in the middle of a 7-year drought. Like, you can't even water your lawn there. So by contrast, by coming here and moving to Port Marnock, Malahide, it's close to the beach. And it ticked a bunch of other boxes for me, all the shades of green, friendliness of the people, the access to the sports and all of that stuff made it a very, very easy place for me to move personally.
And the ability to fly to anywhere in Europe, too, was a big
say,
part
it's
of it.
Mainly your European base is what it
exactly.
is. You guys are on
to
the
travel
move
here
a
from,
lot. Yeah.
To travel here from California costs, you know, a 13, 14 hour journey. And, you know, when we travel to Europe from California or anyway, we're on the East Coast or the West Coast of America, you spend all your money doing it. You spend all your vacation doing it. You arrive tired and you got to get all your boxes ticked to have a successful vacation. And so landing here makes it really, really easy.
And what's been interesting for me, I mean, growing up in Ireland, you remember this. We never really appreciated where we lived.
No,
the beauty.
We didn't.
I'm seeing it a lot of it through her eyes. Mm. And, you know, you notice things like, oh, the clouds in the sky. Look at the formation. We fucking hate clouds, right? And in Santa Barbara, it's just blue.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
so
yeah.
Now she's living here and she just can't believe it. And she's, there's a dog. There's a rabbit. What do you know? It's like,
well, I suppose it took me a long time to realize that I had grown up in a really, really nice place.
It's gorgeous,
place,
isn't it?
In a really, really
I
nice
never
place.
Appreciated it.
Well, I would say if we ended up in the middle of the country in a, you know, a small village somewhere, I don't know that we wouldn't have been back home by now, but it really is. That's a special place, Malahide and Port Marnock. Mm. And again,
well, Dublin's only a bigger village, really.
Yeah,
it is really.
It's amazing.
Yeah,
yeah, like I'm. It's one of the things that, for sure, is about as different as where I'm from as you can have anything you want at the access at the tip of your fingers. Mm. Where I'm from, where here, you really got to sort of. Now, where am I going to get that? Mm. When can I go get that? It's just not easy because it's village oriented.
Yeah,
not city.
It has its own, but
charming, of course.
It does, and I just I find it quite funny because whenever we travel and people say, you know, they they were talking about European capitals and they talk about Dublin, like, oh, please, please. Like, you know, Dublin could fit in the corner of one of those European capitals. Even though our rents are as expensive as anywhere else, and our cost of living is at those standards, that doesn't mean the city is actually...
Oh, but it's charming. I mean, we were just back from Malta this weekend, and it's a very... It's a small island, half a million population, but it's built up.
Also owned by Dennis O'Brien, as much as Dublin is. But anyway, that stays in.
It's up. There's no village about it. It's definitely, Dublin.
So, apart from Malahide Castle, PSLC, Leisure Centre.
She was his part.
Where else can people go to pick up pickleball?
Well, listen, I think... the thing to do would be, so we're now in ALSA at the airport.
Donabate.
Donabate has an age and opportunity group.
She's starting in the Educate Together school in Conseely this week, aren't you?
Again, it's huge in schools in America.
Yeah. So she went in and just showed them, and they now have got her going.
Brilliant.
It's starting this week, isn't it?
Yes, and this Friday.
The first school.
This Friday, I have a teach the PE teachers in Portmarnock Community School, because we're in there at nighttime, and I said, would you ever think about having this available for your students during the day? So
even
they're
going
to I'll teach them how to teach that in an hour.
I'm sure
and
it's
be
a different PE teacher to the one we had.
It wasn't ours, wasn't it?
I'm sure it's a different guy. We had
Mr. McCarthy,
who
was amazing.
A gent, absolute gent.
And you know, he's still around. I see him in Malahide every once in a while. It's gorgeous.
I don't want to see him old.
No, he looks the same. He's gorgeous.
We're going to add some links to this maybe afterwards when we put it out for the public, so they can click on and see where the activities are going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
That's the push to put on this, because the message here is actually, you're not too old. You can get off your arse. Even
Martin.
Even Martin.
The challenge.
Yeah, no, but I just think that that's really the message here. The underlying thing for someone like me is make sure you give your children and particularly your young women in your life the attention, because I would say make sure you check yourself as well as a dad, because it's easier to give yourself that off the hook thing.
Yeah.
You know what? Unbelievable. That's just to be turned around saying 281 days to the World Championships.
It is. It's amazing.
Amazing.
It's amazing. And it's amazing to be the best. You are the best.
Ah, stop it.
It is, but it is great. Like Tony's sort of getting to the
You're
end
annoying
of
her now. You better say something nice about Debbie.
Hey. Tony's getting to the end of his jogging life. You know, he can't keep it going anymore.
So. I've got to go for every year till I can't.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing.
That's next year.
Six Dublin marathons in a row, and I won't stop until... Yeah.
Wow, that's an accomplishment.
That's massive. That's way better than being a squash champion.
And I'll tell you what... I tell you what brings you back. It's those, as you say... The afterwards you meet people who I haven't seen for a whole year.
Yeah.
And I'll meet them again.
It's the community that you have in your... I mean, even not to take away from you, but the squash community is all over the world. Everywhere we go, we have a place to stay, people we've known for, you know, so it's probably the same thing with the running. People you've met years ago.
Yeah, and you're running alongside, you see, and you just know when you're going down the stairs and to wherever we go afterwards, you walk down the stairs and you're going to see the same faces.
Yeah.
And you might
and
see
them
again for another 12 months.
Doesn't matter.
But you have to bloody finish the thing to get there.
Yeah.
You know? So, hats off to you.
Did you have a good time?
Can I just say, DB, are you going to go back again? Like, you won. You came out of semi-retirement. No real training. You won. There's a kind of a message there that says, you sort of have to get back into this and do it again.
I don't know. It's a...
She's now winning pickleball championships all over Europe.
Right. That's so I'll get on the airplanes to go to pickleball tournaments, which is, again, the same thing. You go and meet the same people and a lovely, lovely pickleball family out there. Growing.
Get silver in Scotland or...
Yeah, a bunch of those things.
Is there prize money in any of it?
There is in pickleball, for sure.
And is it...
And paddle, for sure, yeah.
Is that mainly in the States or is there in Europe as well?
Europe would be a paddle, which is, again, it's the fastest growing sport in Europe.
Hmm.
In pickleball, they just finished the U.S. Nationals. And I believe there's money in all of that, yeah.
That's excellent.
Yeah, yeah. And of course, the whole behind the scenes of the coaching and the, you know, all of that sort of stuff where you make your money. And, you know, squash players, I'd say, don't make that much money on a tour, but you sure can make your money in the aftermath of coaching life and all of that. That's where you cash in, not necessarily in the purse.
All I can say is thank you so much.
We're delighted to be here. Thanks a million, both of you.
And it was really nice to see you. I mean, it's a long, long time.
It's been a long time. Not that long now. I still call you Badger.
Yeah. Most people don't know that, but that's what I grew up as. Yeah, definitely. And we'll send this off to Kevin in the States.
Yeah, please do. Give him my love.
I will do. Of course I will.
Thanks, Tony, for coming in.
And we'll stick on the links as well for the crowdfunding and whatever other links there as well.
Brilliant. Excellent. Thank you both.
Thanks for hosting.
Thanks for listening, folks. Tell your friends, share the word. Maybe even throw us a price of a cup of coffee on Patreon. It helps. It keeps us crowdfunding going. Talk to you all soon. Take care. Bye-bye.